We're interested tonight in John's Gospel, chapter number 18. John's Gospel, chapter number 18. We've been preaching these days on the last week of our Lord here on the earth, and His last words, the words of the God-man. We've been preaching on the subject of my, what a week. He certainly has compacted a lot into a week. I tell you, He can do a lot in just a little short of time. We look at His triumphant entrance and how God would encourage us with those truths. His teachings of examination, treasures about the end. And we looked last evening at the test of all evil. I'm glad tonight that He took my sin and sorrows and made them His very own. I do not have to sorrow as others who have no hope. I do not have to worry about my sin tonight. They've all been taken away. And I bless His name for that. I'm interested tonight in John chapter number 18 as we study this last little thought about His last week here upon the earth. In our modern day that we're living in, there has been many trials down through history, and a number of them have been labeled the trial of the century. O.J. Simpson's trial was labeled the trial of the century. I'd like tonight, if I could, close out these thoughts on his last week and look at the trial of all eternity. There was a trial which made an impact eternally in our behalf. And I am interested in that trial tonight. If you've got the gospel tonight, John chapter number 18, I want to begin to look first of all tonight at the arrest before this trial. Of course, our thought tonight in looking at this trial, we know that He entered in at the first part of this week, meek and lowly, riding upon a donkey. And it seems now that everything's out of control. This crowd is out for blood. And my thought tonight is, who is in charge of this trial? Is Pilate, the Roman emperor, in charge of this trial? Is Herod, the king, in charge of this trial? Is the Jewish hierarchy in charge of this trial? Or could it be that the King of all glory, Jesus Himself, is running the whole show, staging His own death, in charge of everything? Let's see if that be true tonight. Chapter number 18, I want us to look first of all as we look at the arrest before the trial. I'm interested first of all tonight in His control of omnipotence. We do know tonight that He embodies all power. Verse number 4 of our text, the Bible said, Jesus, therefore knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, this is the arrest group that has gathered around, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am extremely interested in what He said to them. He said, I am He. That's what the King James says. I don't know if you've got a Bible there in front of you, but if you'll notice that little statement, I am He, if you'll notice, the He is in italics. It's in a different print than the rest of your Bible. What does that mean when the King James writers puts the word in a caps? That means that it was not in the original. They added it so that it would read nice when we read it. So really, what did he say when they said, "Whom seek ye?" He said, "I am." Now there's an interesting title for him to identify himself as the I am. Seems like it has been between 1500 years prior to this that Moses stood in front of a burning bush. There was a voice spoke out of the burning bush and told him, "Go down to Egypt and set his people free." Moses said, "Whom should I tell them? Have sent me." And the voice in the burning bush said, "Tell them I am sent you." Oh, here is one and the same. The voice that spoke out of Moses' burning bush and the one who told them of the Pharisees that day. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." This is the omnipotent one, the one who is all-powerful. This thing's not out of control. It's under His control. Glad of that tonight, aren't you? What happened when He said, "I am"? I thought it was interesting what happened. Look at verse number 6. "And as soon then as He had said unto them, I am," notice the "He" again is in italics, "they went backward and fell to the ground." Hey! He knocked their feet clear out from underneath of them. Well, what did He do, preacher? Did he blow on them like Benny Hinn? No. Did He slap them upside? No. He just pronounced who He was. He said, "I am." And it was more than they could handle. Oh, He is omnipotent power. Hey! Who's in control of this arrest? Who's in control of this trial? I think we'll see before we leave here tonight that the King of Glory is in charge of the whole thing. And I tell you, I didn't get any invitation. Hadn't been any coup in the middle of the night, has there? I hear tell He's still in charge. He's still running the show. Not only do I see in this arrest, before the trial, His control of omnipotence. But I am confronted with His concern for others. Here tonight, He is being arrested. He is looking down the barrel of death. But His overall concern tonight is for others. Peter has come to the Last Supper packing. Packing, yeah, He's packing heat. Got a sword underneath of his gown that He's got on. Must have been funny there at the Last Supper, His legs sticking out like this. Must have been hard for Him to maneuver around there at the Last Supper table. When they come to arrest Him, He raises up that sword and cuts one of the chief priests a servant's ear off by the name of Malchus. Of course, he is a bad shot, got his ear. You know he was aiming for his neck and got his ear. He's going to cut his whole head off. It was not his ear that he wanted. But I'm interested in the Lord's concern. He touches Malchus' side of his head and heals the ear. Oh, His concern is not so much for Himself, but His concern is for others. Hey, I was wondering, what do you think Malchus did after he got his ear put back on? Now, he has seen his ear leave here and go there. He's seeing all this blood shoot out. Don't pinch me and wake me up. But I believe after he touched him, he still saw his ear there. But he's got him a new one up here. Don't pitch me and wake me up. I just believe it was like that. Do you reckon he went on with the arrest? Do you think that he went on with the trial and stood with the witnesses. I have a hard time thinking that it happened like that. I think maybe he went running throughout the city crying out, "He touched me! Oh, he touched me and made me whole." Oh, I tell you, when he touches you tonight, everything else takes a back seat. Everything else is in the rear view mirror. When you can testify to tonight, "He touched me. Oh, something happened. I know He touched me and made me whole." I bless His name for the day that He took time out of all of His busyness to touch my sin-sick soul. The arrest before the trial. But could I go a step further in this study tonight? If you've got the Bible there, turn with us to Luke's Gospel. We're talking about this trial. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. I'm interested not only with this arrest before the trial, but I'm interested tonight in the affliction during the trial. The affliction during the trial. What did they put our Lord through? We find that during this trial, Matthew tells us that they spit in His face. I don't know if you've ever had anybody spit in your face or not. I've only had it happen to me on one occasion. It was sufficient. It will last me a lifetime. I will never have to have a repeat visit. I'll never have to have it repeated. That one time was enough. I could have chased that guy until I couldn't run anymore. If I could have laid my hands upon him, I would have squeezed all of the energy that he had in his body out of him. My adrenaline was going. And as I began to run after his car to try to lay hold on him, it dawned on him. Hit me. It was almost like those back legs were kicking up. That hee-haw was a-going right. And I felt them reins pulling on me. And I felt him pull up that donkey ear and whisper in me. He said, "I didn't act like that when they spit in my face." Oh, spit in his face. And Matthew said that they buffeted him with the palms of their hands. They smacked him with their hands open. Mark's Gospel tells us that they crowned him with a crown of thorns woven out of bramble thorns, slammed it into his head. The Bible said that they stood around with palm branches and they would laugh and mock and bow and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and salute him, mock him, and make fun of him. But I'm interested tonight in this affliction during the trial. It was a humiliating affliction. I'm interested what Luke had to say about the afflictions of this trial. Chapter 22, if you've got the text there. Chapter number 22 and verse number 63. The Bible says, "And the men hailed Jesus, mocked him and smote him." 22:64. "And when they had blindfolded him," I'm extremely interested in that blindfolding deal. Humiliating affliction. They blindfolded him. They struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" Many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Of course, it seems like just from the basis of the text, they have put this blindfold on him to play a game. Of course, he says that he is the all-knowing one. He does say he is the one that knows the beginning from the end. And it seems like from the text that they have put this blindfold on him to play a game with him. Maybe Jim is going to smack him. And they want to know if he can identify Jim. But you know, I think there's a deeper reason for this blindfold. Preacher, what do you think the deeper reason for this blindfold is? I think them eyes are bothering them. I think them eyes are bothering them. What is it about those eyes? They said that he had eyes that could look inside of you. Piercing eyes. I think those eyes were saying to those soldiers, I know you from the inside out. Oh my. Wonder how many of us tonight would be willing to live our lives inside out. How many of us would be willing to reveal all that is on the inside to the outside? Those eyes were piercing. I wonder if those eyes were saying, I love you. I love you. Even as they're spitting in his face, slapping him, mocking him, Hail, King of the Jews! Those eyes are saying, I love you. Those eyes are saying, I forgive you, for you know not what you're doing. I can almost hear those soldiers cover up those eyes. I can't stand to look at them. It seems like they're looking through me and into my heart. Oh, it was a humiliating affliction. But I notice, if you've got the Bible tonight, John's Gospel chapter number 19, I notice that it was a horrible, horrible affliction. Not only was it humiliating, but it was horrible. John 19, verse number 1 says, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus. Here is the only mention of this subject in the Bible. Three words are attributed to the situation. And scourged him. That is all that is committed to the story. That he was scourged. But if you'll go and study Roman history, Roman government, you will find that scourging was a horrible affliction. Horrible affliction. They had soldiers that had their doctor's degree in torture. They had the ability, they had gone to school, they had the ability to hang you out over death and not let you die. Here they took the darling Son of God. More than likely, they stripped him down naked. That must have been interesting for the Son of God, the King of Glory, to be stripped down naked in public. Stripped down naked. They would take a trunk of a tree. They would lean him over that. Tie his hands in the front. Tie his feet in the back. Have him in a dog position on all fours over that stump, naked. That Roman soldier who had his degree in torture had that cat of nine tails, rocks and glass and shells, dipped that in salt brine, start at the back of the neck, 39 lashes, save one, and he would end up right above the backside in the back. And he will have opened up all of the body parts visible to the eye, to the seeing one, of all that is in his back. I'm telling you tonight, it was a horrible affliction tonight. Hey, who's in charge of all of this? Who's running the show? I'm here to tell you tonight, he's having his backside whipped off, but he's still running the show. He's still the King of Glory. He's still the King of Glory. The afflictions during this trial. The arrest before this trial. If you've got the Bible there in this same chapter, number 19, could I mention thirdly tonight the authority over this trial. The authority over this trial. John 19 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put upon him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands." Preacher, what's the big deal that they put upon him a purple robe? Oh, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Purple was the mark of a Gentile king. All Gentile kings in those days wore royal purple. They have beat it. Now they robe him in a purple robe. Pilate gets the idea that Jesus is under Herod's jurisdiction. So he sends him to Herod's hall. From Pilate's hall to Herod's hall, he has to transgress the city from one side to the other. How does he transverse the city? He transverses the city robed in purple. That he is what? He is the King of the Gentiles. Once at Herod's hall, Herod makes fun of him, asks him to do some tricks. Jesus keeps his mouth shut. While in Herod's hall, Herod takes off his purple robe and robes him in white. That is the dress of a Jewish king. All Jewish kings wore white. When Herod turned him loose, he is now in a white robe. He is going to go from Herod's hall back to Pilate's hall. He transverses the city in a white robe as the what? The King of the Jews. I'm here to tell you tonight, He's in charge. He's both the King of the Jews and the King of the Gentiles. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matter of fact, He was born a king. He's born a king. You can't do that. It's impossible. Can't be born a king. No. It's impossible. You can be born a prince. Can't be born a king. Got to wait for mom or dad to die, sister or brother, whoever's got it before you, pass it on to you. Can't be born a king. You can be born a prince, or you can be born a princess. Can't be born a king. Can't be born a queen. He was. He's born a king. Oh, yeah. He's king when he got here. Oh, yeah. He's king when Mary was holding him. Oh, yeah. He's king while he walked the earth here. When they arrested him, he was the king. When they tried him, he was the king. When they nailed him on the cross, he was the king. When they buried him, he was the king. When he got up, he was the king. And while he stayed here for 40 days, he was the king. When he ascended back to glory, he was the king. When he sat there, he was the king. It won't change anything. When he comes, he'll still be the king. How can that be? Well, when you're born a king, you'll always be one. I like that, don't you? Oh, I bless His name tonight. He is the King of Kings. Hey! Who's in charge of this deal? I'm telling you tonight, the writer of Acts says, he says, who was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God? Hath Pilate and Herod of the Jews did take the hand of God caused it, and God hath determined before what was to be done. Oh, Herod and Pilate and the Jews crucified Him. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost was behind it all and holds us fairly responsible for it all. He planned His own death and then holds us responsible for it. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the authority over this trial. The authority over this trial. Could I mention this little thought? in closing, the administration after this trial. The administration after this trial. You'll remember that once he was tried, he was found guilty of claiming to be God. Claim nothing. He was. I do commend them. They did crucify him of a truth. He claimed to be God. That is a truth. That is a truth. But the administration, his ministry on that cross was a greater ministry than he ever had during those 3 years here upon the earth. I was thinking again this afternoon about the minister of administration. Mark said this, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many." He did not come to be waited on. He came to wait upon others. That little word minister there, that's that little word we studied the other night, busboy. He didn't come for somebody to be a busboy to him. He came to be a busboy. The minister of administration. But I was thinking while he's hanging on that cross, how in the world could anybody minister? They got both hands nailed down, and they got the feet crossed, and they got a spike through them. How in the world could they help anybody? I know some of you, you think you're so busy. I tell you, preacher, I just ain't got time to get involved. I'm just so busy. I am amazed at what he did and could move. Minister. The minister of administration. But could I mention this? The ministry of administration. What did he do while hanging there on the cross? Some of the most powerful things ever done. While he was hanging there on the cross and could not move. Preacher, what did he do? First of all, he offered the crowd a pardon. Whoa. He ain't even moving now. I mean, he can't move. Can't move his arms and can't move his hands. And he's offering the crowd a pardon. What are you talking about offering them a pardon? Don't you remember what he said? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Whoa. They're hearing that. He's offering them a pardon. He's offering to eradicate all of their sins. And he's not even moving. Oh, what ministry. What ministry. I was thinking while he was on that cross, he can't move now. Can't move his hands, can't move his feet. What ministry he is having. What else did he do? He offered the crowd a pardon. How about this one? He took Barabbas' place. Whoa! And he moved. He hadn't moved a hand and hadn't moved a foot. And he's taken Barabbas' place. Oh, my. Oh, my tonight. What ministry that he's having to this thief by the name of Barabbas. He took his place. I tell you something else, ministry that he can't move his hands and he can't move his feet. Well, what else he did? He offered the crowd a pardon. He took Barabbas' place. Hey, what else did he do? He gave his mother a provision. Do you know he did not move any hands, didn't move any feet? And he guaranteed his mama was going to take care of her until she died. Whoa, I like that, don't you? Huh? Lord God, some of you wouldn't want to be left to some of your youngins. Huh? Hey, I've got three. And I the only one of them, I want me. Take care of me. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a couple of them I'm not interested in. No. No. They talk about nursing homes and stuff like that. This one here, he's talking about building apartments on the back of his house. I like that kind of idea. Don't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't look at me like you're an angel, you know, all your kids. Whatever's just done. No. You got one or two of them you just wouldn't mind trusting yourself to. But there's one or two of them. No. I get down. Oh, leave me with them. He made sure she's taken care of. He's ministry. He didn't leave her with Peter. Oh, Lord God, Peter put her in a nursing home, he'd have been wrong. Who'd he leave her with? He left her with the one that's the author of this book that's in front of us, John the Beloved. One that never mentioned his name, never wanted to be out in the forefront. Always called himself that other disciple. When you ever referred to him, he said, oh yeah, that other disciple. That's how he referred to himself. Oh my, wrote John the Gospel. Wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, got the revelation. Always referred to himself as that other disciple. That's who Jesus left his mother. He's ministry. He got moving. Oh, what ministry. What else did he do, preacher? He offered the crowd a pardon, took Barabbas' place, gave his mother provision. I thought this was a good one. He answered a thief's prayer. Oh, my. Can you imagine taking time? You're hurting. Your life's blood's flowing out of you. Every bone in your body, 206 bones in your body, and the psalmist said they were all out of joint. Every bone in his body had been pulled out of its cavity, pulled out of his joint, and he took time to minister and answer a thief's prayer. What was the prayer? Prayer was simply this. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You remember the answer? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I like that, don't you? Didn't move a hand, didn't move a feet, but he's ministering. How come? Because he's the King of Kings. He's in charge of this whole destiny. He's running the show. Oh, not only did he offer the crowd a pardon, took Barabbas' place, gave his mother provision, answered a prayer of a thief, but he opened the centurion's perception. Oh, after he died, the old centurion looked at him, thundering and lightning. It was earthquakes. People were getting out of the grave. The centurion had already watched him die. You remember how he died? Everybody on crosses, they always die like this. Trying to get a breath. Nuh-uh, not him. The Bible says that he dismissed his spirit. He told his breath it could leave. That's an interesting way to die, isn't it? Tell your breath it can go. That's interesting. Then what did he do? The Bible said he bowed his head. He died like this. That centurion saw that. And after he died, he said this, truly, this was the Son of God. He opened the perception of his... How did he do all of that? Just hanging on a cross. I'm here to tell you tonight, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. In this trial of eternity, all eternity, he was in charge. Not only did he do all of that on that cross, he took time to think of me and pay my redemption and redeem my sin-sick soul from a life of hell. It hasn't been long ago that Ted Turner, the great billionaire of Atlanta, he asked a large firm, the New York area, what was the largest gift ever given in history, and it was recorded. They searched the annals and they got back with Ted Turner. They said that there had been a gift of $500 million given at one time. It was the highest gift recorded in history. He said, I want to top that. He said, I'm going to give $1 billion to the UN. You can now check the annals. You will find that the largest gift ever been given now is recorded under the name of Ted Turner. $1 billion. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the annals are wrong. The greatest gift ever given was recorded in the annals of this Bible, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Bethlehem, babe, and Calvary's lamb. There's never been a gift that'll ever top it, neither here or while the ages roll on. It is the highest and most expensive gift ever given. And it was given for my redemption. All I can say tonight is, my, what a week. How He compacted so much into this 1 week. I was thinking tonight in closing, you know, our Lord began creation with a week. He created a week. 7 day period. It seems like in His death, His last days here upon the earth, He compacted much into a week. I was wondering tonight, I thought it would be interesting for us, maybe a blessing for us, maybe an encouragement, maybe it just be a little spit in the devil's eye. I thought it might be good tonight for us to reminisce over what day of the week He let you in. What part of the week did He let you in? I thought maybe we would just take them one at a time. Maybe you'd stand up. We don't want you to say anything. Don't need you to say anything. Your standing will be an offense to the devil, and it'll be a glory to God. I was a wondering tonight, anybody here tonight get in on Monday? Would you stand tonight? Got in on Monday. Isn't that wonderful? Had some Monday folk. You know, God can save sinners on Monday. I bless His name. He's not locked into a day of the week. How come? He created the week. He can do it on a Monday. Y'all can be seated. How about on a Tuesday? Any of you get in on a Tuesday? Got any Tuesday folks here? Oh, glory to God. There's a Tuesday gal down here. Yeah, God's not locked. You don't have to have a church day. He can get you in on a Tuesday if you need to. Hey, anybody in here get in on Wednesday? You got in? Oh, I know there'd be some Wednesday folks here. Yeah, got in on Wednesday. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, you can sit down. How many of you got in on a Thursday? Anybody get in on Thursday? I probably got in on visitation night maybe, huh? Got in on Thursday night. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, anybody here get in on Friday, did you? That's grocery night. Glory to God. You mean God took out the time, saved you on grocery night, family night, play night. Isn't He amazing? Save you on Friday night. Hey, ain't no Saturday night people here. Stand with us if you're on a Saturday. Sisters are waving. Saturday, glory to God. Hey, you can be seated. Ain't no Sunday folks here, is it? Oh, I know they're going to be a big crowd. That's when I got in. I got in on a Sunday. You can be seated. I wonder tonight. You know, for a long time, I've put a lot of emphasis on knowing what day it was. I've always thought I know I got in on Sunday, but I always thought it was July 17th. 1968. I've told that as long as I can remember. And I got to thinking not long ago, I've always connected it with the day I went into the Army because that was the day I ATS'd on July 17th, and I thought I went in that day, same day. Of course, I never wrote it down. I just had it in my mind, July 17th. And so I asked my mama, I said, Mama, I said, do you remember what day, what Sunday it was I got saved? She said, no, not right off the top of my head. She said, but I got the old Bible I was carrying then. And she said, I wrote it in the front of it. I said, go get your old Bible. She said, it was July the 14th. I went in the Army on the 15th, ETS 3 years later on the 17th. Maybe tonight you're not sure about the day, but you do know you got in. Maybe you'd like to stand tonight. You know you got in, don't care what day it was, but you know you got in. I bless His name tonight. Let's stand all over the building. I thought it'd be good. Maybe the sister'd come. Maybe we'd take our songbooks tonight if you need one. Let's sing us a verse or two of that old song, On a Hill Far Away. Stood an old rugged cross. Page number 305. I didn't check it out. It wasn't my intentions to look around and see if you stood up or not. I'm confident tonight that probably didn't all of you stand up. It may be tonight you didn't got no testimony. You don't have no day. Hey, you could get you a Wednesday night right now. If you just bow the knee, cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He still is in charge. He still loves to save sinners. Maybe you're here tonight, God has dealt with you about various things this week. You've not yet got them settled. You know you're saved. While we're singing this song, you just might feel like you might get in this altar and get some things settled in your heart. Things God's been dealing with you about. Maybe you felt like you should have come forward last night or night before last and you didn't. God's been